Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Na. Imam. Virinchaha. Na. Bhavaha. Na. Srihi. Api. Anga. Sangshaya. Prasadam. Lebhire. Gopi, yat, tat, prapa, vimuktidat, nemam varincho nabhavo, nashrirapyanga sangshaya, prasadam lebhire gopi, yat, tat, prapa vimuktidat nemam varincho nabhavo na shrirapyanga sangshaya prasadam lebhire gopi yat tat prapa vimuktidat. Translation. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the Goddess of Fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Purport. This is a comparative study between Mother Yashoda and other devotees of the Lord. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arshabhritta. The only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are His servants. Krishna has the transcendental quality of Bhritya Vashyata, becoming subordinate to His Bhritya, or servant. Now, although everyone is Bhritya, and although Krishna has the quality of becoming subordinate to His Bhritya, the position of Mother Yashoda is the greatest. Lord Brahma is Bhritya, a servant of Krishna, and he is Adi Kavi, the original creator of this universe. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviye. Nevertheless, even he could not obtain such mercy as Mother Yashoda. As for Lord Shiva, he is the topmost Vaishnava, Vaishnavanang. Yatha Shambhuhu, what to speak of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune. Lakshmi is the Lord's constant companion and service, since she always associates with his body. But even she could not get such mercy. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was surprised, thinking, what did Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj do in their previous lives by which they got such a great opportunity? The opportunity to be the affectionate father and mother of Krishna. In this verse, there are three negative pronouncements. Na, 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 when anything is uttered three times. Do it, do it, do it. One should understand that this is meant to indicate great stress on a fact. In this verse, we find na lebhire, na lebhire, na lebhire. Yet, Mother Yashoda is in the supermost exalted position, and thus Krishna has become completely subordinate to her. The word vimuktidat is also significant. There are different types of liberation, such as sayuja, salokya, sarupya, sarshti, and samipya. But vimukti means special mukti. When after liberation one is situated on the platform of prema bhakti, one is said to have achieved vimukti, special mukti. Therefore the word na is mentioned. That exalted platform of prema is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as prema pumarato mahan. And Mother Yashoda naturally acts in such an exalted position in loving affairs. She is therefore a nitya siddha devotee, an expansion of Krishna's Haladini potency, his potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhihi. Such devotees are not sadhana siddha. This is a well-known verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe not among the most well-known, but nevertheless well-known by serious students of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami praises the good fortune of Mother Yashoda. He expresses his astonishment at how much mercy she's got, which mercy could not be had even by great personalities like Brahma, Shiva, and even Lakshmi. Now let's consider this. Can Lord Brahma tie up Krishna? Can Lord Shiva tie up Krishna? Even Lakshmi cannot. Whoops. Yeah, that's Hridayananda Maharaj translating a lecture of Srila Prabhupada's. Going on. There are so many devotees who are in that vatsalya rasa, or that mood of parental affection to Krishna. That means there are other gopis. When we think of gopis, we generally think of the girls who are dancing with Krishna, but there are also the elder gopis of the age of Mother Yashoda, who are the mothers of the cowherd boys. So they don't dance with Krishna, they make Krishna dance for them, little baby Krishna. They clap their hands and little baby Krishna is dancing. But among them, only Yashoda could tie up Krishna. Which means that Krishna has literally completely given himself to Mother Yashoda. She can do what she likes with him. She can tie him up. He has this quality that's mentioned here, bhakta vashyata. He comes under the control of his devotees, and to this extent that he can be tied up. Of course, we read yesterday how Krishna exhibited discontent at that, but that's Krishna's prerogative. He wasn't discontent thinking that I'm God, who is she to tie me up? But in the mood of an impudent young boy who doesn't want to be disciplined by his mother, but who nevertheless is disciplined. You can't escape it. Yeah. Mother Yashoda has treated him properly. A naughty young boy should be punished properly. So such mercy, there are so many pastimes of Yashoda with Krishna, but this particular activity encapsulates it all. How Krishna has become completely subservient to her love. So this whole month is dedicated to that. It's not just the act of tying him up, but there's a symbolism in that also. Of course, Mother Yashoda, she doesn't think of all these things, the symbolism of tying him up. She doesn't think of such things, but nevertheless, it shows who's in charge in this house. You just can't do whatever you like. This month is called Damodar month, Kartik or Damodar. And the 16th Vilasa of Hari Bhakti Vilasa is dedicated to duties to be observed in the month of Kartik. Hari Bhakti Vilas is a smriti, Vaishnav smriti or Dharma Shastra. It means a book of directions of how to what people should do, and all different sections of Vedic society have smritis, according to different castes and followers of different sampradayas. Madhvacharya has his Sadacha Smriti, and there's Smriti Dharpanam, and there are all kinds. There's so many which are meant for different communities. This one was compiled actually by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and then it was, it's not exactly clear, but it seems the compilation was mostly done by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And that's also true for the Shatshandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. He compiled all the evidences, and then Jiva put it into order. Published, at the very least we can say it was published in the name of Sanatan Goswami, and it's a book of direction for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, what they should do. There are 20 vilases, which are like chapters, and one whole chapter is dedicated to duties to be observed in the month of Kartik. So this is the most important month for Gaudiya Vaishnavas especially. Shravan Mas is also very important. Purushottam Adhik Mas. There are special duties to be observed in these months. Before I start to, I'm going to read through this. Not the whole chapter, because the last part of the chapter describes observance of... Get a little water. Particular festivals, including Govardhan Puja and the different Ekadashis to be followed during this month. And the Rath Yatra to be performed at the end of it. Before we read this, a few words about Hari Bhakti Vilas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said it's especially compiled for householders, that you'll see when we come to some points. And it seems that Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he selected all kinds of quotes from all different shastras, because there are so many different shastras, and they're for different people at different levels and different stages of life. Nana shastra vichara naika nipuno sadharma samsthapako. The six Goswamis are described as studying all these shastras with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles. In other words, selecting, yes, this point we should emphasize. So in this Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are directions for devotees on some very basic level, as well as for all devotees. Hari Bhakti Vilas, I very much doubt if any devotee ever followed everything in it, including Sanatan Goswami. But it's a book of directions, and that's why we also find in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami that he says that all gurus, they teach the same basic thing, but there may be some differences in details, so what the gurus instruct. So some gurus may stress more, you have to follow this and this, and other gurus may stress something else more. Having said that, I'll start. Oh, Kartik month is dedicated to remembering this pastime, and also to Radha, who is known as Kartiki, Urjeshwari. This month is also known as Urja, and following of the vows, that is called Urja Vrata or Kartik Vrata. Here it's stated to be Kartik. Ata Kartik Krityam. Duties to be observed in the month of Kartik. I won't read the Sanskrit. Sanatan Goswami begins this chapter by saying, I surrender, I submit myself at the lotus feet of their lordships, Sri Radha Raman, by whose influence his most dear Radha has become served and honored in this month. I'm not necessarily reading the translation, sometimes I'll a little bit retranslate it myself. The observances to be followed during Kartik have been clearly given in the Skanda Purana, Padma Purana, and other Puranas. Here is a summary within, just a summary. And he goes on. During the month of Kartik, devotees should regularly worship Lord Damodar after bathing in the morning, and they should also give charity and observe other vows. Giving charity is especially meant for householders. Oh, one thing I should say, in this special worship, as well as the special rules and regulations that are mentioned regarding the special days in the month of Kartik, will be described later in this chapter. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in one place that rules of things, observances in Kartik and so on, he said that that is especially meant for persons who are not practicing pure devotional service, who don't do it throughout the year. He gave the example, which obviously he picked up from his time in the West, because at that time in India there was no such idea, that a store, supermarket, they will give us some special offer, buy two, get one free, or every special sale, everything 15% off. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that this is to allure new customers. Those who are already regular customers, anyway they're coming, but they want to get new customers, so they make some special offer. So he gave the example, observing Kartik vows is, for those already practicing pure devotional service, it may not be so necessary, but it's especially for attracting new people to devotional service. And elsewhere, it's stated that because it's not only here but elsewhere in other shastras also, just like the that one of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which one I'm just not remembering the name of right now. Vrajavriti? No, it's not. He states, or maybe it's Sanatana Goswami elsewhere, that anyone who stays during the month of Kartik and follows vows to worship Damodar, if he stays in Mathura for the whole month practicing this, then even if one does it for materialistic reasons, to get some material benefit, then his natural attraction for pure devotional service will awaken. So, In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it's stated. Okay. But we find that our Vaishnava Acharyas, they also put great stress on observing this month, living in Vrindavan, especially one thing is for newcomers or neophytes or materialistic devotees, their attraction for Krishna will awaken. And for those already advanced, then this month is especially for worshipping Radharani. So, Sanatana Goswami continues. O pious soul, continues means he's quoting from various shastras, as he said, especially from Skanda Purana and Padma Purana. O pious soul, one who, after achieving the rare human form of life, does not observe the religious duties prescribed for the month of Kartik is certainly the killer of his parents. How about that? Parents want their children to work and earn money for them, but they don't want them to observe Kartik vows, but they become figuratively the killer of their parents by not following Kartik vows. A human being who spends the month of Kartik, which is very dear to Lord Damodar, without observing any vow, falls down from the platform of religious principles and thereafter takes birth as a bird or an animal. So everyone should follow a vow. But anyway, you're all doing that, just like rising early in the morning and chanting the names of Krishna. We do that, all these things. But devotees can do other vows also, just like eating once a day, some austerity, or eating very simple food, no salt, no sweets, like this. One can do, no harm. O lion among sages, especially if a widow does not observe the vow of Kartik, she will certainly go to hell. Which suggests that not all widows are expected to enter the fire of sati. All pious activities and the performance of austerities of a householder who does not observe the vow of Kartik are to be considered useless, and he will reside in hell for one kalpa. So apart from all the positive things, by not observing Kartik, for the householders especially, it's pretty bad future waiting for you. All the demigods, along with their king Indra, become averse to a twice-born person who neglects the vow of Kartik. O foremost Brahmana, even if one performs many sacrifices and offers oblations to the forefathers hundreds of times, but fails to observe the vow of Kartik, he will be denied access to heaven. Yeah, this is typical Vedic Puranic language. They stress the point. As a result of not observing the Vaishnava vows in the month of Kartik, a sannyasi a widow or a vanaprastha will traverse the path to hell. O foremost Brahmana, what is the use of studying all the Vedas and Puranas if one does not observe the Vaishnava vow in the month of Kartik? Even if one has accumulated heaps of piety through proper means since his birth, if he does not observe the vow of Kartik, then all his piety will be burnt to ashes. All kinds of pious activities, such as giving in charity, undergoing austerity, or chanting mantras, are in vain if one does not observe the vow of Kartik. O Narada, if one fails to observe the sacred Vaishnava vow in the month of Kartik, then all the piety he has accumulated during his previous seven lifetimes is rendered null and void. O foremost sage, know for certain that those who do not observe the auspicious Vaishnava vow of Kartik are certainly personifications of sin in this world. It means pretty much everyone nowadays. O Narada, one who passes through the month of Kartik without observing the rules and regulations prescribed in this regard loses all the piety that he had accumulated throughout his life. So it's different evidences from different scriptures saying pretty similar things. Those who don't observe the rules and does not observe the vow of Chaturmasya is a disgrace to his family and no better than the killer of a brahmana. Those who do not offer oblations to the forefathers at the appropriate time, those who do not observe the vow of Kartik, those who do not offer oblations to the sages on the full moon day in the month of Shravana, those who do not celebrate the swing festival in the month of Chaitra, those who do not take a holy bath in the month of Magh, those who do not observe the Amalaki Vrata during the period of Pushya Nakshatra, those who do not observe Janmashtami, and those who do not bathe at the confluence of two holy rivers on Shravan Dwadashi. I do not know where all these foolish people go to. Anyone who in the land of Bharatavarsha passes through the month of Kartik without observing the rules and regulations prescribed for this month throws away a touchstone into dirty water after having received it. O Brahmanas, Lord Krishna becomes averse to one who passes the entire month of Kartik without following the necessary vows, because the Kartik Vrata is very dear to him. Those twice-born persons who in the month of Kartik do not give charity, perform fire sacrifice, chant mantras, take holy bath, or observe the prescribed vows are the lowest among mankind. And it goes similar things goes on. If you're not convinced yet, it's more about how you'll go to hell along with your forefathers, and the Yamadutas will take you. Your human life is useless. Destroy the piety you accumulated in the last 10 years. That's not as bad as the 7 lifetimes. All right, and then he goes on. Okay, that's just to get you scared, and you should follow it. And now here are all the benefits that one gets. The benefit one attains by giving all kinds of charity and bathing in all the holy places is not equal to even 1/10,000,000th portion of the benefit one attains by observing the vows of Kartik. This is this kind of statement is clearly aimed at materialistic pious people who are interested in getting material enjoyment from observing pious activities, because those who are pure devotees, they just want to do everything for Krishna's benefit. So, here it's stated that you could place pious activities such as bathing in the holy places, performing sacrifices while giving sufficient dakshina, living in Pushkar, Kurukshetra, or Himachala. Again, yeah. That means in the Himalayas. Now we think of Himachala as this Himachal Pradesh, but it actually means that it literally means the same thing as the Himalaya. And donating as much gold as that on Sumeru Mountain on one side of the scale, and the month of Kartik, which is very dear to Lord Keshav, on the other side, and they would be seen as equal. Whatever pious activities one performs for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu in the month of Kartik award unlimited benefit, and it goes on and on. And again, this is for materialistically pious people. Among all months, Kartik is definitely the best. It is more auspicious than the most auspicious and more sanctified than the most sanctified. Just as it is difficult to know the limit of the oceans, mountains, or rivers, it is difficult to estimate the piety one accumulates by observing the vow of Kartik. The same applies to committing sinful activities, which gives the idea that if one performs sinful activities in Kartik, then you get a pretty heavy result. Na Kartika samo maso. There's no month equal to Kartik, no yuga equal to Satya Yuga, no Shastra equivalent to the Vedas, and no Tirtha, body of water, equal to the Ganga. The month of Kartik is the best of all months and is very dear to the Vaishnavas. Whatever is produced in the month of Kartik, whatever is done in the month of Kartik should be used for the service of the Vaishnavas or for Vishnu. Vaishnavas deliver their forefathers from hellish conditions by observing the vow of Kartik. Among all 12 months, Kartik is the best. If Lord Vishnu is worshipped even with meager offerings during the month of Kartik, he rewards the worshipper with residence in his own abode. This I have concluded after careful consideration. Just as Lord Damodar is very affectionate to his devotees, his favorite month, Damodar or Kartika, is also very magnanimous, because even a small service rendered during that month is accepted as very great. This valuable human form of life is rarely achieved by the conditioned souls, and even rarer is the opportunity to observe the vows of Kartik, which is very dear to Lord Hari. By the offering of a ghee lamp in the month of Kartik, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari is very pleased. Even if one offers a ghee lamp through someone else, the Lord awards him a very auspicious destination. The only thing is, I don't see the word ghee in here. There's the word sugitam, which is a completely different word, which means to sing nicely. So it means offering a lamp. It can be an oil. Generally, lamps can be made of oil. The benefit one receives by observing vows and... the translations here are not necessarily very accurate. But more or less, they're okay. The benefit one receives by observing vows in this world accompanies the person for only one lifetime. But the benefit one receives by observing the Kartik vows accompanies a person for 100 lifetimes. The pious merit one achieves by observing the vow of Kartik and bathing at Akrura Tirtha can be achieved simply by hearing about the rules and regulations prescribed for the Kartik vow. Well, that sounds more pleasing to those who don't want to follow vows. The benefit one obtains by visiting Varanasi, Kurukshetra, Naimisharanya, Pushkara and Arbud can be obtained simply by observing the vow of Kartik. Arbud, what's that? Naimishai Pushkare Bude. Maybe it means many times. Arbud is a large number. It says Arbud, a place, but I never heard of any place. Pushkare Bude Gatva. I think that's what it means. It's translated and understand it. Or maybe I don't understand it. Without worshipping the Supreme Lord, without performing any sacrifices, and without offering oblations to the forefathers, one can attain the abode of Lord Vishnu if he simply observes the vow of Kartik. So getting us all excited, and then later it'll tell us what the vow is. Well, here's the beginning. If one consciously minimizes his daily intake of food in the month of Kartik, then he certainly attains the liberation of having the same bodily features as Lord Krishna. By observing the vow of Kartik, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras will no longer experience birth in lower species of life, which is the result of performing sinful activities. Liberation from material existence is guaranteed for a person who, according to his It says here, it's translated as according to his own ability, but it seems to be more according to the rules that are given, observes the vow of Kartik. Who according to his own ability observes the vow of Kartik, as is prescribed in the scriptures. Persons can achieve great benefit in a short time by observing the vow of Kartik, which is observed with great respect by the demigods, sages, and forefathers. Any pious activity, such as giving grains in charity, performing fire sacrifice, austerities, chanting mantras, that is executed during the month of Kartik, bestows unlimited benefit. Whatever one offers to Lord Vishnu during the month of Kartik, especially food grains, awards one inexhaustible benefit. There is no doubt that one who performs fire sacrifice every day for one full year, and one who draws swastikas as decorations during the month of Kartik, attain the same benefit. So, while doing Rangoli, the swastika can also be put. During the month of Kartik, if a woman decorates the temple of the Supreme Lord with drawings made with colored powder, she will be transferred to the heavenly planets and become as charming as a female dove. Swage sta shobhate sa su kapoti pakshini yata. One who daily eats off a leaf plate every day throughout the month of Kartik will not suffer any distress for one kalpa. Okay, go get your leaf plates. But anyway, if you chant Hare Krishna, you won't suffer any distress anyway. Human beings can nullify all the reactions to the sins they had committed since birth simply by eating off a lotus leaf plate during the month of Kartik. Those who eat from a lotus leaf plate during the month of Kartik will not suffer hellish life, Such people will achieve the benefit of traveling to all the holy places, and their desires will all be fulfilled. The Palasha tree, which awards one all kinds of benefit, is also known as Brahma. A Shudra should avoid eating off the middle leaf of a Palasha tree. If he does, he'll have to suffer in hell for one kalpa. Pious activities such as donating sesame seeds, taking a holy bath, hearing the topics of the Supreme Lord, serving saintly persons, and eating off a Palasha leaf plate during the month of Kartik awards one liberation from material existence. So those who have, in the Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they understand that hearing about Krishna is in a completely different category to eating off a Palasha leaf or any other kind of leaf or any other kind of vessel. But this is for people who don't have such discrimination. They're attached to the rules and regulations of the scriptures for the sake of attaining piety. O leader of the Brahmanas, one who rises from bed before sunrise during the month of Kartik and stands before Lord Damodar achieves the result of giving 1,000 cows in charity. So you see, we do that. We rise early and we come before Krishna, but we don't think, now I'm getting the result of getting 1,000 cows in charity. One who remains awake during the last 3 hours of the night during the month of Kartik while standing in front of Lord Vishnu attains the abode of the Supreme Lord. In this age of Kali, serving saintly persons, feeding cows, hearing topics of Lord Vishnu, worshipping the Supreme Lord and remaining awake during the last 3 hours of the night in the month of Kartik are opportunities rarely achieved. So that we do. We rise 3 hours before sunrise. Anyway, we do that as a daily function. And it goes on, the merits of bathing in the morning during the month of Kartik, which again we do anyway. Offering oblations to the forefathers, we generally don't do that. One who discusses, it says the Bhagavad Gita, but actually the verse is Gita Shastra Vinodena. One who discusses the Bhagavad Gita during the entire month of Kartik will never again return to the material world. One who circumambulates the temple of Lord Vishnu during the month of Kartik achieves the merit of performing a horse sacrifice with each step. One who enthusiastically, here's a good one. One who enthusiastically dances, sings and plays musical instruments before Lord Hari during the month of Kartik will attain the inexhaustible abode of Lord Vishnu. One who recites 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu and the prayers of Gajendra during the month of Kartik will never again experience birth in this material world. One who offers prayers and sings the glories of the Supreme Lord at the end of the night during the month of Kartik will go to reside in the spiritual abode of Shvetadweep along with his forefathers. One who offers grains of barley to Lord Hari during the month of Kartik will happily reside in heaven for as many yugas as there were grains of barley. But we're not that much interested in going to the heavenly planets anyway. In fact, we don't want to go there. One who offers aguru, comfort, sandalwood paste, and incense to Lord Keshav during the month of Kartik will never again take birth in the material world. And it goes on. About hearing and all this kind of thing, hearing the topics of Lord. In other words, trying to engage people with no transcendental intelligence in hearing about Krishna. O great sage, during the month of Kartik, one should give up all varieties of religious performances and simply hear narrations of the scriptures in the presence of the deity of the Supreme Lord. So people who do that thinking, I'm going to get lots of good merits, pious merits for doing so, and then they'll hear that na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, and it might just start to enter their heads. How you can deliver 100 genera during the month of Kartik, especially recommended to hear and discuss the holy scriptures. Lord Madhusudan becomes very pleased. You become freed from all suffering during the next 10 million lifetimes. During the month of Kartik, if a person daily recites even a single shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam with great devotion, he will attain the merit of studying the 18 Puranas in their entirety. So here you see that Srila Prabhupada, his statement about it's for getting new customers, because those who are following the process of Krishna consciousness under his guidance, anyway we read Srimad Bhagavatam every day, at least one verse. Giving up all varieties of welfare activities, such as the performance of sacrifice and the digging of wells, just faithfully associate with devotees of Lord Vishnu during the month of Kartik. Okay, then what to do? Practice celibacy, sleep on the floor, eat Havisha rice off a Palasha leaf plate, and worship Lord Damodar during the month of Kartik. One will certainly become free from all sinful reactions. One will attain the transcendental abode of Vaikuntha and enjoy blissful life in the association of Lord Hari by thus engaging in his devotional service. Rising early in the morning, controlling the senses, chanting mantras, eating Havisha rice, and remaining self-controlled throughout the month of Kartik will be freed from all sinful reactions. One who eats only once a day for the month of Kartik will become very famous, powerful, and glorious, if you're interested in such things. One who eats off a palasha leaf plate during the month of Kartik becomes cleansed of all sinful reactions. One who honors the remnants of Lord Hari's food attains liberation from material existence. Not only brahmanas, others are also advised to avoid eating off the middle leaf of a palasha tree. The Supreme Lord, if he's worshipped during the month of Kartik, becomes inclined to forgive 1,000 offenses and even grave sins performed by his worshipper. One who daily partakes of and distributes to the devotees Lord Vishnu's favorite food, sweet rice mixed with ghee and sugar candy, attains the merit of performing a sacrifice. Well, there you go. You don't have to give up sweets, because rather it's recommended to eat what in Iskonese is called sweet rice, payasam. It actually means rice cooked in milk, which is sweetened. Those who bathe in the morning, remain awake the entire night, offer lamps, and serve the tulsi plant during the month of Kartik, attain the liberation of having bodily features similar to that of Lord Vishnu. In this way, one who observes the vow of Kartik for even 3 days becomes worshipable by the demigods. What can be said of those who observe the vow of Kartik throughout their entire life? During the month of Kartik, one should rise early in the morning for the pleasure of Lord Hari, take a morning bath, serve tulsi, offer a lamp, and celebrate a festival at the end of the Kartik vow. I don't see that aspect there. By observing the above mentioned five limbs of the Kartik vata throughout the month of Kartik, one becomes eligible for liberation as well as for material happiness. In the month of Kartik, one should remain awake throughout the night, either in the temple of Lord Vishnu, in the temple of Shiva, underneath a banyan tree, or in the tulsi garden. One who makes a vow of observing the Kartik Vrata may bathe by chanting mantras if, due to some awkward circumstance, water is unavailable, or if one is unable to bath because of sickness. If one is unable to celebrate the closing ceremony of the Kartik vow, then he should faithfully feed the brahmanas to conclude his vrata. If for some reason one is unable to personally offer a lamp during the month of Kartik, he should do so through someone else, or she should carefully protect from the wind a burning lamp offered by someone else. In the absence of a tulsi plant, one should worship a Brahmana Vaishnav. In the absence of these, just to complete his vow, one should serve the Brahmanas, cows, or banyan trees. Then the next section is called The Glories of Offering a Lamp During Kartik. As a result of offering a lamp, even for a fraction of a second during the month of Kartik, all the sinful reactions that one accumulated during thousands of millions of previous lifetimes are destroyed. The month of Kartik is very dear to Keshav. One who offers a lamp during that month will never again take his birth in this material world. Offering a lamp to the Supreme Lord during the month of, that means this deepam, this the burning light the very word here, Dipadana. One who offers a lamp to the Supreme Lord during the month of Kartik awards, it gains 10 million times the merit one obtains by bathing at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse or by bathing in the Narmada during a lunar eclipse. What is the use of performing a horse sacrifice if one's lamp, oil lamp, sesame oil lamp, burns during the month of Kartik? Just by offering a lamp to Lord Janardhan during the month of Kartik, one who never chants mantras or never performs rituals or other acts of purification will attain full perfection. One who offers a lamp to Lord Keshav during the month of Kartik has already performed all kinds of sacrifice and has bathed in all the holy places. Pious activities continue to exhibit their pride in heaven, on earth, and in the hellish planets only up until the time when a lamp is offered before Lord Keshav during the month of Kartik. In other words, there's so many pious activities, and they may seem to be very great, but in all these mundane pious activities, when compared with offering a lamp to Lord Keshav during the month of Kartik, they all become rather insignificant. Someone is stating that in our family, a son who is devoted to his father will take birth and please Lord Keshav by offering him a lamp during the month of Kartik. As a result, we will certainly be liberated. There is no doubt that by the influence of offering a lamp during the month of Kartik, the reactions to unlimited sinful activities, even if they are as tall as Sumera or Mandara mountains, are burnt to ashes. By offering a lamp before Lord Vasudeva in the temple, in the courtyard, during the month of Kartik, one achieves the highest perfection of going back to Godhead. The human birth of one who offers a lamp to Lord Madhusudan during the month of Kartik becomes successful. He is glorious and becomes famous in this world. The method of offering a ghee lamp, again it just says lamp, even for a very short time during the month of Kartik, cannot be considered equal to merit attained by performing 100 sacrifices or bathing 100 times in the sacred rivers. And it goes on with similar things like that. If you don't offer a ghee lamp before Lord Keshav during the month of Kartik, there is no such sins that one can do that cannot be purified by offering a ghee lamp. By offering a lamp, to Lord Keshav during the month of Kartik. Frees one from all obstacles. Then even offering a lamp with camphor, that's another category. All the members of one's family who have taken birth in the past, who are alive at present, who will take birth in the future, will by the mercy of Lord Krishna enjoy life in the plants of the demigods for as long as he wishes and then achieve liberation. For someone who offers a lamp with camphor, one who illuminates the temple of Lord Hari with lamps in the month of Kartik, even for the purpose of playing chess, will deliver 7 generations of his family. Gambling, duta. Huh? Chess, I don't know if Chaturanga was the forerunner of chess in Vedic culture. He offers a ghee lamp in the house of a Vaishnav during the month of Kartik, receives wealth, good children, fame, and a good reputation. Okay, brahmacharis. This is for householders. Where do we do it? For love of Krishna. But you can go to people and tell them all these things that you'll get. What's on your shopping list? You can get it all filled up by offering a light to Damodar during this month. But there is the problem that people, they come to Krishna consciousness with a materialistic attitude, and it's often very difficult to get it out of them, that they should come to pure devotional service, but it doesn't say they'll get it immediately. A poor person should also offer a lamp throughout the month of Kartik, even if for the sake of doing so, he has to sell himself. In other words, don't neglect to do it out of lack of money. One who does not offer a lamp in to Keshava during this month is not a Vaishnava. Okay, we'll read some more tomorrow. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions? Yeah. Yes, please.
Sometimes in some temples they read about the philosophy of Ekadashi.
Yeah, if by following this, there's Putrada Ekadashi, you get a. You get sons by following this Ekadashi and so on. I'm not much in favor of that. It's for people who are on the very materialistic platform. The problem is that with catering to these kind of people that we almost seem to forget our own purpose, and then you'll find in our temple it says you wear this gem for this day and this gem for another day and Navaratna, and then come to our temple and we'll do this fire sacrifice for you to overcome all obstacles and so on and so on. Whatever happened to pure devotional service? And then our own devotees, they do that and they think, well, we're raising money for the temple and so on, and there's no end to it all. Okay. Hare Krishna.